Well, good morning. Happy Christmas to everyone. Good to be here. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Eternal God, we count ourselves blessed this morning. And we might echo the words of the hymn writer, "How blessed and pleased was I to hear the people cry, 'Come, let us seek our God today.'" And that's why we're here, to seek our God today. May the Lord, by his Spirit, guide and direct us, that we might truly find ourselves in his presence and acknowledge that he is Lord of all. Praise to his name. Amen. I want us to turn to Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 9, and I am aware that you were here last week, but in the providence of God, we're here again. May the Lord bless his word among us. I just want to consider verses 6 to 9 with you this morning. In fact, it's just six verses 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." When Pilate led Jesus out to display him before the people, his word to the people was, "Behold the man." That word, "behold," is used in the King James Version. It's a very interesting word. The dictionary defines it as to perceive with the eyes, that is, to look and to see, and to perceive with the mind, that is, to consider, to think about it. In other words, to behold is to seek to understand what we are looking at, what we are dealing with. And I want to behold the man as Isaiah reveals him to us. I suggest that the way we do this is to look at his name. Not just a fleeting glance at his name, but to really behold the man who is described in his name. I suggest we look at his name. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6, we read, "For unto us a child is born." Now, that first word, we read so quickly, don't we? That first word, "for," turns us back to what occurred for that to be the reason that we are now considering. Shall I make it a bit clearer than that? Something happened in the first verses of this chapter that Isaiah reminds us of. In verse 2, for example, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Now that is a tremendous change in things. Darkness and despair and the shadow of death have been overcome by light. Light has come to the area. Andrew read for us that light has come into the world. Death, the shadow of death, has been overcome with life. You see, those two things can't hold together, can they? You either have darkness or light. You either have death or life. There's a tremendous change that Isaiah is dealing with here. And the reason that he's got is that this child that has been born, this son that has been given, the one upon whose shoulder the government stands. This is a totally new government, a government of life and light, whereas there was darkness and death. But what kind of man could it be that could sustain such a government? A government of light and life. And he is described for us in his name. He is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And that, I suggest, is his name. Singular. He is identified in that way. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we are told that the increase of that government and peace will never end. It's an unstoppable government. He will reign on David's throne over the kingdom, establishing it, upholding it. What a tremendous man this is that's described for us. He will hold, uphold, and keep the welfare and well-being of God's people. So many in past generations have tried and failed. You read through the book of Judges and Kings and Chronicles, and you find that they all begin with good intentions, such good intentions, and they fail. This is the one that the people have been looking for, waiting for. The one who was promised to Abraham. The one who's carried the promise through David to reign on David's throne. An unstoppable government of peace and security, accomplished with this one whose name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Take the first section of his name, Wonderful Counselor. He was in the beginning with God. He was part of the eternal council that called into being the whole universe. And when he can do such things, such big things, he is able also to do the little things. He knows about us. He knows what makes us tick. He knows how fickle we are, like sheep, so ready to stray. He is one who is intimately acquainted with both the counsels of God in eternity and the everyday happenings of men on earth. He knows what to say by way of guidance. He knows how to direct the affairs of his kingdom so as to give good counsel. He knows what is in man. No one needs to tell him. It is said of him, no man ever spoke like this man. He remembers that we are dust. He knows our weaknesses. He knows the rebellion of the spirit that is in us. Do you have a stubborn streak? Horatius Bonar writes like this: I was a wandering sheep. I did not love the fold. I did not love my shepherd's voice. I would not be controlled. I was a wayward child. I did not love my home. I did not love my father's voice. I loved afar to roam. Are you like that? What an awesome responsibility then has fallen upon the shoulders of this child, this son. Was he able to bear it? Well, yes, indeed he was, with patience, with consistency. He is mighty God. He is everlasting Father. Or as some suggest, he is Father of eternity, Father of the ages to come. He is eminently suited to bear the burden of such a kingdom as this. He is omnipotent. He is in everything victorious. He cannot be conquered. He is never taken by surprise. He cannot be surrounded. He knows everything. He is everywhere. He is in total control of all events, even those things which seem to us to be dark and clouded. We can't see the real purpose of them. We can yet be confident in his rule. I do not know what lies ahead. The way I cannot see, yet one stands near to be my guide. He'll show the way to me. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles. Give to him my all. Ah, my friends, this one is Prince of Peace. Now, at first sight, it suggests that it is another aspect of his rule. He is a prince. But when you read the scriptures and recognize that he himself is our peace, that he achieved peace through the blood of his cross, and as Isaiah says, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace fell upon him. So much as he appears to be in total control, he also underwent some trampling upon, didn't he? He was trodden down. He was humiliated to his extremity. He was even deprived of the support of his father. My God, why have you forsaken me? The one who was with God in the beginning, who was God, was forsaken of his father. He who is mighty God, everlasting Father, made himself of no account. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death on a cross. He bore for us the curse of law and sin. He shared in our humanity, so that he could die our death. He rose from the dead so that we could share his life. He breaks down the barriers that separate tribes and factions. He has made for us peace with God. And we're told in the closing phrase of that, of those two verses, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now, first suggestion again, that seems that God the Father, the Lord Almighty, is backing the matter of the government that this baby, this child, has taken upon himself. And it is by his zeal for his will to be carried out that it will be accomplished. But I wonder too if there isn't in this passage a sense that the son, the child, is also so zealous for the will of his father that he accomplishes it. The zeal is his. He will accomplish it. Didn't he say on one occasion when he cast out the money changers from the temple, the zeal of the Father has eaten me up. The zeal for God's will has eaten me up. And I believe this is also included in this phrase. Did he not in Gethsemane give himself so entirely to his Father, not my will, but yours be done? I do always that which pleases my Father. He was zealous for the things of God. Behold, the man. He came to us in a direct and humble way, a human baby. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. The truth that was echoed by the angel in his announcement to the shepherds, today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And according to Isaiah, his name will be called Wonderful. Is there a comma between Wonderful and Counselor? Many people debate it. As for me, am I bothered? I'm not bothered. As far as I'm concerned, he is altogether wonderful. And if that word is an adjective, it can be applied to a redeemer. He is a wonderful redeemer. He is a wonderful savior. He is a wonderful reconciler. The old man Simeon, when he received the baby, he recognized that here was the salvation of God. Here was the one who would reconcile sinners to God. Here is the one who would govern the people of God. His name, as was told to Mary, you will give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Why? Well, here is a description of his work again and his person, isn't it? He is to be the Savior of God's people. And this word Emmanuel expresses the union of his two natures, human and divine. The name Jesus expresses his power and ability to save. A son is born, the promised Messiah. Truly God truly man. He became what he was not before, yet remained what he always was. What a mystery! Is he not wonderful? Beyond understanding. Wesley puts it like this: our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. And again he writes, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. The Son is unique. Behold the man Christ Jesus. He is altogether wonderful. We see him in prophecy, in birth, in life and ministry, as condemned in our place to reveal the things of God to us, to be risen from the dead and reigning as Savior, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords, supreme as surety for the church which he loved and for which he died. And now he is in glory, where he is preparing for us that eternal promised home. Behold the man. He is at the right hand of God, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. Is he not wonderful? Do you know him? Do you know him, the man, Christ Jesus, the God-man, the Savior of sinners? Behold the man. Continue to behold the man. Embrace him. Love him. Walk with him. So may we see him face to face, to know exactly what he is, when we shall be like him, made like him, when he returns for us. May the Lord bless his word and encourage us in the same. Gracious God, we would behold the one that you have given us to be our Savior and our Lord. So may we truly embrace him and love him with all that we are and have. Glory to his name. Amen.